The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside on this lovely morning here.
That's right.
You good?
I'm good, man. Good morning.
Always check in with you, man. Make sure everything's all right.
Yeah, I'm good.
Make sure your driving was okay.
Any reason why it wouldn't be?
No, I'm just curious. I'm just worried about your welfare. That's all.
All right.
I feel a responsibility. On the show today, Jay Kahn on the National Hockey League. I got to ask him about this, the goings on here in Vegas, among other things. He'll have his NHL plays for the night. Jim Root from Three Man Weave talking Final Four with us. Pardon me. And we will do that this hour as well. Drew Dinsick will join us, of course, talk NBA. I don't know if he has any early clay court tennis at all, but we'll certainly ask about that. We have some...
He's got some horse thoughts.
He's got some Kentucky Derby thoughts. Because never forget about Drew Dinsick. He not only does his podcast, but one of the podcasts is for NBC Sports. The man does lots of horse racing for them. He does... Remember, he goes to the tracks themselves for the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have beautiful shots of Drew in front of racetracks. Well, one time we thought a horse was going to just plow him over.
I will never forget that. He was, at the Derby. It was rainy. We were at the D.
Yes.
And he, Drew, as most of our guests do, put so much care into setting up his shot.
He really does.
That you couldn't see the rail that was next to him. So it just looked like he was out on the track and this horse comes zooming up by him. It looked like it was going to hit him.
So he's got Derby thoughts. He's got NBA thoughts where both J.J. Redick has chimed in on behalf of Luka Doncic's MVP candidacy. That's Luka Doncic's MVP candidacy. And Joe Mazzulla has thoughts on Coach of the Year, which are fascinating, which I have not heard, but I've heard about now.
SGA had comments on MVP, too, but it was really more of I'm just going to let my play do the talking.
Yeah.
That was basically the whole quote. We don't have to play his.
As it remains a lot tighter than it has been in the MVP race, that's for sure. As both SGA and Wembanyama go off last night. Mark Borchardt, Major League Baseball, will do all of that. We'll actually talk race to 10 in Major League Baseball a little later on. And I bring that up because last night, the five remaining undefeateds, including our Blue Jays, for those who tailed, all lost.
It's wild.
All five lost. Now, unlike with the... It dead heats. And for those wondering, because this had come up before, we won, if you recall, a couple years ago, Panthers last winless in the NFL. We won it legit anyway, but we would have won it at Circa based on the time of the game anyway, right? Even if the Panthers had won later in the day, we would have won it just based on chronological order of games. That's the National Football League. And to some extent, that makes sense in the NFL because we all are aware of scheduling in the NFL, and we know who's playing a primetime game in which week, that kind of thing. In baseball, it doesn't make sense to have that rule, and it should be a dead heat for on the same day for two reasons. One, you shouldn't be expected as a handicapper to know the schedule of every baseball, you know, scheduled day, no matter how far out into the season or how short out into the season, I should say. And secondly, the West Coast games are going to be later no matter what.
Right.
On a day-night kind of schedule.
I think it makes complete sense for baseball, but yeah. I'm still a little surprised Circa did that for the NFL.
Little bit.
Because it's still sort of the same thing, West Coast, East Coast.
No, because primetime games can be anywhere in the NFL.
Primetime can be, but you have 1 o'clock kickoffs and you have 4 o'clock kickoffs.
Right, but the primetime game can be anywhere.
Right.
So I'm just saying, and you should, and so in that case, there's not a definite East Coast, West Coast thing happening. So you could put the burden on the handicapper to know that information. And I think in football, you do. I'm with you, though. Like, it shocked me at the time.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Like, it's not completely out of bounds. I get both sides of that one. So anyway, it becomes a...
Just know your rules, right? It really is. Yeah. It's just a great reminder of know those rules.
Know your rules. So the Blue Jays lost to the Rockies, and I don't know if anybody saw this, but the Blue Jays starting pitcher, Ponce, he fell off the mound on one pitch for a balk.
Oh, my God.
He sort of laughed it off. And then, like, a minute later, he's trying to field a ground ball that went to the first base bag side of the infield. And he had to be carted off. So you just kind of knew this was not a night the Blue Jays were going to win. But the Marlins lost. the Brewers lost by a run. Once the Brewers lost, you were like, okay, well, all you need is a Dodgers and Yankees loss here. Yankees lose to the Mariners, which was close.
Still sounds absurd, though.
And the Dodgers got beat pretty good. I mean, they got beat 4-2 in the end, but they were down 4-0 heading into the ninth against the Guardians. So they all lose, and so it does dead heat. Now, for those who are on this and you are, this is, you're new to dead heat math.
Welcome.
Welcome to the to the joy and the disappointment of dead heat math. Instead of the 11-1, which is what we got at, what do you guess the payout was instead of 11-1?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'd have to sit there and do my math here. 11-1 was the bet. You had five, chop it up.
Yeah.
So what? Paid like even money.
Plus 140, baby.
Plus 140?
Even better than even money. Yeah. But that's all we got. And if you think about dead heat math, essentially, if you split it five ways, it would be a little better than that. And because you got the 11-1, you would think it would be better than an equal share. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way. Plus 140. I give you the formula, but I don't want to grind the show to a screeching halt.
You know, have fun doing it, but doing it by yourself at home.
Essentially, what you would do is you would take your odds plus 100 and divide it by the number of teams that are in it, and then multiply it by the stake. It's a whole thing. It's plus 140. So congratulations to those who got the plus 140 on the Jays. Yay for us. Now, what does happen in that process also is, with those five teams losing, guess who's in a tie for first place for most wins March, April? The Reds, 3-1. Let's go.
There we go.
So we're off and running there. But let the record show. Nobody ended up undefeated even into April.
It's insane.
All it took was four games for everybody to lose one. And if you're asking yourself, by the way, here's the race to 10 wins, which we'll look at later. These are all the teams with three wins. There are the Reds right in there.
Well, I don't even know if it's all. I stopped at some point.
There are 13 of them. You stopped at 10. 13 teams have three wins. But so all it took was four games for everybody to lose a game. And on the other side, if you're wondering, what about the winless side? Only the Athletics are 0-4. Everybody else has won a game. So there you go, baseball. Through four games, that's about as much parity as you want. Let's enjoy it while we can in the moment, because they ain't going to last. But there you go. That was a very deflating end to what we felt we were set up very well with the Blue Jays. But plus 140 is plus 140. All right. Whatever. Short dog wins in baseball every night.
Hey, man, that was one. I mean, that was one that was happening earlier, right? Like that was, all I knew was it wasn't looking good. And I was like, oh boy, this sucks. I had no idea the four other sides lost. That's pretty incredible, actually.
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
Especially when you start naming the teams, right? Dodgers, Yankees. Right.
Plus 140 beats losing the stake.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Absolutely. So there's that. The other thing I just want to say about baseball, and this is somewhat sports betting related, but really just baseball related with everything, is once again, the automatic ball strike system yesterday. Did you see the Yankees game at all? So this was Mike Estabrook's night to get publicly humiliated. I'm not sure, right? The umpires had any idea that it would result in this, right? They probably figured, oh, it's a challenge system. It's two. If you get one right, there'll be a third. No one expected teams' challenges to go like 5-0, which is exactly what happened last night with the Yankees. It's there's a couple things going on here. First of all, the analogy I make is this. Do you remember when rideshare first started, when Uber and Lyft first came into existence?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about a guy who lived in San Francisco and would come to Vegas all the time. San Francisco, before rideshare, like if you had to go to the airport in the middle of the night, you didn't want to park there, you'd have to call dispatch at like 3-4 in the morning. They couldn't have been more rude, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, hang up the phone. In Las Vegas, they would literally take you for a ride, right? Try to charge you more, try to cheat you out of money if they thought you didn't know the lay of the land. I don't know. They'd pass gas in the car itself. The drivers themselves. That happened many
Never
times.
Never smells good.
Oh, and if you had the audacity to stay at the Hard Rock, the closest hotel to the airport, they verbally berated you. Why all of these things? Because there was no repercussions, right? There was no, they had complete authority on this segment of society.
Yeah.
Until rideshare came in, and then all of a sudden, the cabs wanted you to cry. Oh, we pay all this money for these placards. Maybe if you were nicer, right, about everything, we would have more sympathy for you. This, to me, is the umpires, right? They legislated into the game that you could not argue balls and strikes. And God forbid you question the authority of these umpires who had this this dictatorship over what is correct and what is a correct pitch, what is an incorrect pitch. Well, now that we have this system, like I would have sympathy for the public humiliation of anybody at their job. But in this case, I do not whatsoever. And it proves also that the batter and the catcher, but in this case with the Yankees, it was all on offense. The batter knows the strike zone so much better than the umpire does. Steve Fezzik puts it as, well, the catcher and the batter are in the front row. They should. Maybe we shouldn't expect umpires to be able to call these correctly. But finally, after the fifth one yesterday, Aaron Boone shouts at Easterbrook. He's like, you know, kind of get it together, man. And Easterbrook shouts, that's it. That's your warning. It's like, bro, you're 0-for-5 on these. I think it's fantastic.
I love it.
I think the game has gotten just so much better just from this alone.
Yeah.
And the real thing is, and by the way, it kind of, the whole thing makes me angry too, because think how many thousands of games. Yesterday alone, one of those, there were two strike three calls that got turned into a walk and a subsequent single of those five at-bats. Think how many thousands of baseball games have been altered by these horrible calls, let alone all of your bets. Remember how many times a bet came down to this one high leverage situation and you got some bogus strike call against you. So good for baseball. I have no sympathy for the umps.
You know me, Gil. I'm here for the chaos. I hope it continues to be a nightmare for couple weeks.
Captain Chaos, Gilly Bidlin. Coming back on a numbers game. Oh, I got some tennis picks. Next. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out the website, Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, Steve Mackinnon's Final Four ratings and projections, and Park's horse racing picks from the Daily Racing Form. And later today you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA picks and props, Adam Burke's MLB Best Bets, and Wes Reynolds' Valero Texas Open preview. It's all the website. Get VSiN Pro for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days to save 50% off with an annual subscription. Find all of our subscription options at VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets beating the book. This is from Jason Mancini. It says, it's time for books to start offering ABS over-under challenges by game. Take the over on CB Buckner all day long. CB Buckner is absolutely one of the prime candidates multiples every time he's behind.
At least prediction markets, we can get this up and running.
Oh, for sure. Peter Watry, by the way, we're very geocentric when it comes to our sports, when it comes to lots of things in this country. But Peter Watry is pointing out maybe the biggest global thing happening in sports today. Are you aware of this, Kelly? Last day to qualify for the World Cup. Italy must win today after missing the last two cups deep in a dark Bosnian forest on a rainy night. He says the hopes of a nation that is struggling economically and low morale rides on the team. 300 million viewers pressure. Wow.
I just got goosebumps from the tweet. Wow.
Well said, Peter.
Also didn't ask Paul about today. Sorry, but I gave Paul Carr the last week off.
Oh, okay.
We allowed Paul to have a vacation.
Yeah, Kelly's,
get him back for Prem and Champions
League. Kelly dispenses vacation to the guests.
Paul Carr. I mean, how many hits a year does he do?
Oh,
it's insane.
So many.
Yeah.
So many. Mikey P. Mike Provine says, the notion, did you suggest this, Kelly? He says, the notion that baseball doesn't need umpires on the field is asinine and incredibly short-sighted. There's way too much that happens on the field that needs a human to adjudicate the play in real time.
I'm sure you're right.
That's his response.
Sure, you're right.
Jesse Welch, incredible breakdown on the effects of the ABS system. The analogy was spot on, and I have zero sympathy for the CB Buckners out there. And Johnny Millionaire, Gil, can you ask Kelly if Thor Bjornsson at even odds in a matchup versus Ricky Fowler's solid wager this week at Valero, or will Michael play nervously as his Masters chances fritter away?
Man, that's a great question. I would still high on Thor Bjornsson. I don't think that this course is not set up as well for him. Yes, I think it's interesting off of a good result last week, sandwiched in between possible the Masters. What do you get out of him? I would not be going against Ricky Fowler, though.
Okay.
He's trailed off a little bit here recently, but Ricky's still playing good golf.
Always a pleasure when this gentleman joins us on a weekly basis to talk hockey with us and other things, because he's betting other sports as well. It's Jay Kahn, everybody, co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL, co-host of NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast on NHL Fantasy. You can follow him on Twitter at JayHahn4. That's H-A-H-N, the number 4. Jake joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Jake, good morning, sir.
Good to be with you guys, as always. And I want to bet on this Italian soccer game now after hearing that tweet. That was deep in the Bosnian forest. I've fired me up. I'm not a big soccer guy, but I will certainly get into the World Cup, and I'll jump on the Canadian bandwagon here as well. I know a couple games are going to be here, so I might even try to get to one if I can. But I might have to turn that one on. That's right at the end of my show too, so I'll maybe make some time for Italy Bosnia later.
I'm with you. Beautiful tweet. Best listeners in the game. No question on this show. Best listeners. That was a wonderful tweet. Real quick before we get to hockey, you are a Toronto Blue Jays fan. I was talking earlier on the show because we dead heated our last regular season bet here on the show. You were watching last night. I described Ponce, the Blue Jays starter last night, having fallen off the mound, getting a buck, and then he hurt himself. What was your comparison? What did you say he was?
He looked like either me or one of my drunk softball teammates on a Friday night that have maybe had a few too many. You get the late game where you've had time to drink before, and because he fell off the mound on the one pitch, yes, and then two pitches later he goes to field a ground ball and he's kind of stumbling and bumbling, and I'm like, oh man, is this guy okay? Like what did he do between innings? And unfortunately, it does look like a pretty bad injury for him. You see him get carted off, and he looks like he's in a lot of pain. It's Jay's debut. There was a lot of excitement for the potential of him, so I hope it's nothing too long term, but you do always fear the worst in situations like that. I had no idea about the George Kittle connection as well. George Kittle, his brother-in-law, who was there with the Jays jersey on and all those sorts of things. So I felt for him, and there was a lot of excitement in that building last night. But yeah, I would say drunk softball player was probably my best comparison to what I watched last night.
Cody Ponce, get better soon. And you're going to you're going to try to go to the Blue Jays Dodgers, the rematch, the revenge games. Next week,
I was there Saturday for what was a crazy game against the Athletics. 11 innings back and forth. They came back from 6-2. The building was just rocking. It's going to be a lot of fun this summer, assuming that they keep winning and, you know, they stay in that American League East race, which I would assume that they do. They certainly have the team to do it. I'm going to do my best to get to that Dodgers series. Obviously, any chance to see. I know there's history now with the World Series, right? Not good history on our side, but any chance to see Shohei and that Dodgers team, I got to take it because they don't come in very often. I might not see them again until a potential World Series rematch. So I'll see if I can get to one of those games next week.
Shunned by Shohei, beaten by the Dodgers in dramatic fashion in the World Series. One hockey question, Jake, before we get to your plays. And you probably know where this is going, because it's one of my favorite hockey topics, because as somebody who sort of follows other sports more closely, I'm always fascinated by this with hockey. So the Vegas Golden Knights, here's a brief 30-second history. I'll try to keep it within 30 seconds, which is they start out in 2017. It's Gerard Gallant as their coach. They end up having this historic expansion season. They get all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. They lose to the Caps in 5. The next year, they get bounced in the first round against the San Jose Sharks. Really controversial call, a 5-minute major, and it kind of trips them up. They lose to the Sharks halfway through the next year. So we're talking right before the pandemic. They fire Gallant out of nowhere, and Peter DeBoer takes over. They end up getting to the conference finals. They end up getting the conference finals the next year under DeBoer. And then the third year, they miss the playoffs entirely. And because the Vegas Golden Knights have this proud tradition of just doing very well no matter what the season is, they're like, you got to go. We don't miss the playoffs here in Las Vegas. And then they, by the way, DeBoer's record was even better than the guys before him and after him, 650 winning percentage. And then they go with Bruce Cassidy. They end up winning the cup, right? The first year with Cassidy, they end up winning the cup. Then they lose early rounds the next 2 years. And then here, just over the week, a little 2 days ago, they're like, yeah, we don't see it anymore. You're gone. Tortorella is in. Do you like the way the Vegas Golden Knights do this? Do you support this method of discarding guys?
So from an entertainment perspective, I do enjoy it. From a hosting a hockey show perspective, we were talking about it. It's kind of nice to have a bit of a villain in the league. And I'm not saying I dislike Vegas or I cheer against them, but I know a lot of people do, and they don't like how they handle their business. And that ruthless nature you kind of reference, you know, discarding, in this instance, it's coaches, but it's been players as well in the past. So they seem to say, hey, if we're not winning, if we don't feel like we're going to win a cup, then we want to make some changes. I can respect that. I can appreciate that, but it does rub people the wrong way. And I think it has created this kind of villainous nature to the Vegas Golden Knights, but I think that's a good thing. I think sports needs villains. I think there's got to be one or two teams that are kind of the villains. We just talked about the Dodgers. They've kind of become that in baseball just because they've won so much and they spend so much money. So it's a little bit of a different villain, but I think it's important to have. That being said, Gil, I was shocked on Sunday. The season has not gone well for Vegas. They play in the Pacific, which really helps them out in terms of being a playoff team. But this late in the season, you just never expect a coaching change, especially for a team that is still sitting in a playoff spot. And I have tons of respect for Bruce Cassidy. You mentioned it. He's won a cup before. So I thought maybe coaching change if they got bounced in the first round, sure. I was very surprised on Sunday to get that news that John Tortorella is all of a sudden back in the league. Just crazy stuff.
And I don't think Golden Knights fans know that they're the villain. That's the thing that's most interesting from this perspective. What did you land on today in the NHL?
So I'm looking to the East race, guys. It's so much more fun than the West race. Someone's got to make that last West wildcard spot. And we're just talking about Vegas. They did beat Vancouver last night. I think any of us could coach the Vegas Golden Knights. No offense to Torts. It was nice to see him back behind the bench and he gave some good answers. But I think any of us could coach the Knights to a win against Vancouver. So wait and see on Torts' tenure with the Vegas Golden Knights. But I'm going to go to some underdogs in the East race here, guys. The Boston Bruins at home to the Dallas Stars in a big game. Now, Dallas is a great team, but they're kind of stuck in that two spot in the Central Division. Not much to play for. They can't move up. They can't move down. Boston, everything to play for, trying to lock down a playoff spot right now, assuming Jeremy Swayman's in net. I do trust them in this game. And I'll also go with the red hot Philadelphia Flyers. They might be the hottest team in the National Hockey League right now. And they're really doing their best to try to push and make a miracle run at a postseason spot. You're getting them at plus money in Washington tonight. And you've got Washington coming back from the West Coast, from Vegas, actually. They had a win over the weekend in a shootout. They're also playing for their playoff lives, but I just like the way that Philly's playing a little bit better right now. And I'll wrap it up with another East underdog, the Columbus Blue Jackets at home against the Carolina Hurricanes. Another motivation angle here. Columbus, everything to play for, trying to lock down a playoff spot. Carolina, basically locked into the top spot in the Metro. I'm not saying they're not going to try in this game, but give me Jack Greaves and the Columbus Blue Jackets to take this one on home ice.
All right, so recap those in reverse order. Blue Jackets, Flyers, and then what was the first one?
Blue Jackets, Flyers, and the Boston Bruins on home ice against the Dallas Stars. All three of them are plus money guys, so we're going with some plus money dogs tonight. I do like Winnipeg as well on the road. I don't love the price. They're about minus 140, minus 145. They're also pushing desperate, trying to make the playoffs. They're in Chicago tonight, so maybe Winnipeg in regulation. That's something I might be looking at a little bit later.
That Golden Knights thing's amazing. All three of those coaches before 600 winning percentages or better. All of them summarily dismissed.
See ya.
See ya. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks, boys. Have a great week. Enjoy Italy and Bosnia later.
Yes, absolutely.
Go Italy.
Go Italy, says Jake Hahn, everybody. Coming back, Jim Root on the Final Four next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
A numbers game brought to you by ProfitX. If you're not on ProfitX yet, what are you waiting for? Now's the time. Sign up by April 6th. Purchase at least $25, get a free $25. Then jump into their King of March contest. You can win free trips worth up to $5,000 or even, dare I say, $10,000. Just use the code VSiNMM, MM as in March Madness, make your first purchase. Then learn about the contest on their homepage and start playing. No entry fee is required. Hit $1,000 in volume, you're entered for the $5,000 trip. Hit $10,000 in volume, you're entered for the $10,000 trip. Win 10 picks, hit the volume, and every additional 10 wins gets you another entry. Download ProfitX, use code VSiNMM, make your first purchase, and take your shot at becoming the King of March. Go to Ron Burgundy through some tweets, shall I?
Oh, I just saw an epic one come down.
Jay, touchdown Jesus. So MLB umpires instantly judge pitches traveling 95 miles per hour, cutting across a 17-inch plate in a 22-inch tall window, and only get it right 95% of the time? Back to hearing about gamblers who are pioneers and Hall of Famers if they're hitting 59%. Yeah, I would argue there are certain umpires, Jay, that are not hitting 90, that are not hitting 95%.
Nobody said it was easy.
Nobody said it was easy, but for God's sakes, you can see so clearly now how wrong so many of their calls are. Ryan Hyatt, looking forward to Drew hanging out with Gil and Kelly this morning on VSiN. In an alternate universe, Drew and Greg Peterson host a weekly podcast featuring beer and wine pairings with foods as Greg walks his 12 miles and Drew prunes his bonsai trees. Have a day, fellas.
Oh my gosh. Yes, no price on if Drew has a bonsai tree. That's a great, it's like, yes, I'll go dog, but like slight dog, like plus 115.
If he doesn't have one now, he's absolutely had one. That's
well said. Yep, yeah. You're right.
Jack Larkin over at Sports. Oh, Jack, don't do this to us. He said, would love 2 minutes of Sports Talk Radio from you and Kelly. Greatest player at Team Villains. I'm putting Patrick Reed near the top.
Mm. Oh, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. He's up there. How about this tweet from Rich Cimini real quick? Aaron Glenn on Geno Smith.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Brace for this. Quote, he's the guy that's going to lead us to the promised land.
And by promised land, he means...
I don't know.
A 6-11 record? What does he mean?
Top five pick? I don't know.
Oh. That's right, a top five pick. Real quick, before we get to Jim on the final four, I do have two tennis plays. We have shifted from hard courts now to clay, but it's not the real clay. It's not the red clay of Europe yet. It's the Fugazi clay of quarries in Virginia that produce Hartrue clay. So I'm in Charleston. It's the only 500. There's five tournaments, three on the men's side, two on the ladies' side. Or three ladies, two men's. I can never remember. I think it's three men's, two ladies. We're only doing the Charleston one, which is the 500. The rest are 250s. I have two plays this morning. One of these starts in about 12 minutes. Dalma Galfi starts in 12 minutes. I have her at plus 115 versus Bianca Andreescu on the Hartrue courts of Charleston, North Carolina. And then about an hour after that, Katie McNally at minus 113 versus Ashlyn Kruger. So Galfi, really quickly here in about 12 minutes. McNally a little later on. Those are the only two plays. Dipping the old toe into clay here on the American side of things.
Hey, don't worry, Gil. The quarry has been active for roughly 75 years and estimates it has reserves to last another 50.
That's it? Then what happened?
Reserves.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Good to know. Kelly Bidlin for your quarry update.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, the final four is this weekend. A special numbers game investigation reveals, and Jim Roof from Three Man Weave is here to discuss. Curtis, the progressive guest line. You can follow Jim on Twitter at Second Chance Points. That's with the number two at the beginning, Second Chance Points, 2ND Chance Points, if you will. Three-man weave stuff at 3MW_CBB. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm good. It's not quite as good to be sitting across from you at the desk out there in the Circus Sportsbook, but, you know, back home here in my little humble abode in Chicago and headed to Indianapolis on Friday, so we'll be in person at that said Final Four.
Is this your first Final Four in person, or have you been before?
I've been... every year since 19, save for obviously 2021 when they weren't allowing fans. And then I went in every year since 18, I guess. Yeah.
Really? And hold on. Yeah. I'm kind of interested in this. So you just buy tickets secondary market or directly, or how do you do it?
Media passes. Gil. I get in there. I sneak in there for free. Oh, yeah.
What are you just going like, hey, I'm Three Man Weave. Can you hook it up?
That's actually what's happened, basically. Really? Yeah. They accept us as ambassadors of the sport, I think.
How's the media spread at a Final Four, Jim? I've never been to one.
Honestly, really good. They feed us well. I think the New Orleans one was the best, and because, you know, that's New Orleans food for you in a nutshell. But I'm optimistic that they'll feed us well in Indy as well.
This is amazing to me. This will work for me nowhere.
No, it won't.
I know a guy from Three Man Weave. Could you let me in? No, sorry. The Final Four, Arizona, Michigan, preceded by Illinois and UConn after UConn's epic, dramatic, unbelievable. I still can't believe it 2 days later. Unbelievable finish against Duke. Do you have any futures plays on any of these still in pocket from whenever you got them?
I do. I have 60-1 in Illinois. That's the one that actually feels good and was a good price. I got some Arizona 15-1 as the year went on. I remember I had a a free bet credit at an offshore book. And I was deciding between Arizona and Michigan sometime in like January. Picked Arizona. Obviously couldn't have gone wrong with either of those two, but I have no Michigan right now. And that is terrifying to me because they kind of lean their way against Arizona ever so slightly. And they might be the best team in the country. So not having any exposure on Michigan is terrifying at this point.
Did you say you had UConn? Did I miss that?
I do have a little UConn. They're like kind of a break even bet. Okay. I won't make any money if UConn wins. Illinois and Arizona would be profitable, and then Michigan would be, oh God, the portfolio got wiped out. We lost it all this year. So I'm going to have to figure out a way around that to adjust.
By the way, is there some of you that's like, how do I not have a Michigan? Like, did it never occur to me to bet Michigan since you're the guy who has so many of these teams?
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of 2024 when UConn was so good. And there were a couple times during the year, even like in February, I was like, they're 7-1. Should I put something on them? I had that with Michigan a little bit this year, but they got to like 5-1 really, really fast. And I just never pulled the trigger. And now, as you just, you know, had up on the screen, they're +175, +180. And certainly wish I had 5-1 instead. Yeah. That would be a much, much nicer price.
Let's do these in the order that they will be played. Let's start with the 6:09 p.m. Eastern start between Illinois and UConn. Illinois favored by 2.5. The total is 139.5. You were just saying you feel good about your Illinois. Would you lay the 2.5 here?
I probably wouldn't lay it. I think I'm maybe a little more intrigued by the over. I think I just recorded a podcast this morning with Will Warren. We do a show called Stats by Will and Jim, and talked through this. And I think both teams really have routes to scoring points here. I think the UConn defense has been excellent, but Illinois is an awesome shot volume team where they are dominating the rebound and turnover margins all through the tournament right now. And I think they're going to maybe not like continue to dominate, but I think they'll have an edge here against UConn. And that would also tilt you towards the -2.5. But I think they'll produce enough open shots. They have a really strong shot selection. They take a lot of rim and three type stuff. They get good shooters, good looks with their spacing. And so I think they'll score. And then the other end, UConn, the big edge for them, the numbers that I dig into is Illinois is very bad at defending off ball screens, 20th percentile nationally in points per possession per synergy. And UConn is 99th percentile in frequency of that action. They run so much of it in the half court, running guys off screens, whether it's Caravan, it's Ball, Braylon Mullins, all those guys are going to be moving in their sets. I think they'll find ways to score there as well. So it's going to be fairly slow. The tempo is not going to be a huge asset here, but I think the efficiency can nudge over that 139.5.
By the way, this is a side note before we get to Michigan, Arizona, but what the hell is Dan Hurley's problem getting in the face of the official at the end of that? And just
that
getting
was bizarre.
It was so odd. He is Michigan. We all kind of know that. But like, it's really interesting because the official just didn't want to insert himself and call a tech, I guess, in that most unbelievable of moments. But he technically could have. No pun intended.
He could have gotten ejected. I think contact with a ref is like supposed to be auto ejection. Like, I know he wasn't doing it to intimidate, but it was just so weird.
You won two championships. So it's not the greatest moment of your coaching career, but arguably the third greatest. And you decide to do that. It's so strange. Michigan, Arizona, yeah. You may have tipped your hand. Also, you like Michigan -1.5.
Yeah, I keep gravitating that way. And it's mostly because both these teams are such elite rim defenses. They're built fairly similarly from a sense of immense size, especially from positions 3 through 5. And they want to dominate the rim on offense and defense. And I think Michigan's got a little bit more of a plan B. They can actually shoot a little bit. Elliot Cadeau in ball screens is rock solid. Lendeborg shooting the ball the way he has been in this tournament makes them nearly unbeatable. I think they're at 44% from three in the tournament through 4 games. Michigan's just been outstanding from there. Arizona's played some good rim defenses. They beat Florida. They played Kansas twice. They beat Houston. I don't know if they're going to be able to get the same type of rim stuff against Ademara, such a massive rim protector for Michigan. They're going to have to make some jump shots, and I don't know if that's their strength. I think Michigan's got a slight edge there. So I do lean towards Michigan. I think this will be very up-tempo as well. Lean to the over again, which is scary on such a big stage in a football stadium. But yeah, definitely like Michigan -1.5 there.
Final two questions. Who's winning it all?
Winner of Arizona, Michigan. So I guess I have to say Michigan.
And would you be surprised if anybody won it all? Any of the four?
I think if it's not Arizona or Michigan, I'd be a little surprised. I think they've just been so clearly the best two teams.
Okay. Jim Roop. Jim, enjoy the Final Four, Mr. Mann.
Will do. Thank you for having me.
Drew Dinsick on the other.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball season is here, and VSiN Pro just made it a whole lot more profitable with MLB AI player prop projections powered by Opta AI. We're giving you data-driven projections for both hitters and pitchers. Compare directly to DraftKings line so you know exactly where the value is. And every day, we break it all down into two different categories, the top value plays and the strong plays, so you don't have to do the heavy lifting. Get access now with a VSiN Pro subscription at vsin.com/MLBprops. Gil Alexander, we get tweet speed of the book. This is from Larry Fresh. He says, you never thought of using your credentials, Gil, to get into a sports event? What about the KMEL days? Use those to get better seats to concerts? No, I'll tell you what happened in KMEL. The salespeople thought they were the most important people at the station, and they would all hoard them, and they would never give it to people like me.
Yeah, okay, I can back that up even just at sports radio stations. That happens,
Jesus.
Too. Yeah.
Talk about inflated egos.
Jordan Sherwood sure went to a lot of games, way more than I did back in the day.
Oh, Reza, you're going to that concert too? Pick 10. Guys, if I'm that ref with Hurley, I'm teeing him up the first time he says something to me the next game I ref against him. And when he says something like, what? I'll say Duke game to him. That's a good strategy on it, I would think. Just don't insert it in that moment, I guess.
Yo, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. This is like the third week in a row I think I'm going to do this. Golf withdrawal.
Uh-oh.
Call Morikawa out of the Valero Texas Open. So get your bets in now. Top of the board will be moving.
But isn't that because he just wants to go to Augusta?
I don't know. There was a lot of questions already because he was a WD at the Players. Remember, he played one hole and then grabbed his back on hole two, and some of us lost money because of it.
But that makes some sense, right?
So, well, it's always the argument of, are you teeing it up the week before the Masters because you're completely healthy? Because why would you be doing it otherwise? Or you need to test it out?
That's my response to that.
Yeah.
That's how I do the radio show. Chance Copperpot, Drew Dinsick, a numbers game word of the day is eons. An eon is the largest division of geologic time, spanning roughly 500 million to over a billion years, and is used to categorize Earth's 4.5 billion year history based on rock layers. And yet Drew uses it haphazardly, I will add, on the show.
How dare he?
The man's a seismologist. He can use whatever he wants.
Did convince you too on the break, though. He was describing a horse race where the horse's shoulder was not strong enough. I broke this down a couple months ago. Left shoulder is very important, and he was too fast. He couldn't turn.
If you were a trainer, that's what you would tell your horses, like, dip the left shoulder.
That's right. You got to really build up the muscle in that shoulder.
3JackH3131. I fully support Michael Wilbon's position on Jaylen Brown as a 275-1 MVP ticket holder. That man has carried the Celtics through the season. I mean, it's not like he died on the court, but still, give that man the award.
I love the rooting on your ticket. Just admit you have a ticket. Yeah. And when we get the tweets, and it's like, come on, we know you got a bet.
I like tweets through tickets. It's good. Ladies and gentlemen, he joins us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. You may follow him on Twitter at BaseWinner, BaseWinner.com. And, of course, he does his own BetUS baseball show on the daily. During the baseball season, it's Mark Borchardt, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening?
To give credit to BetUS, it's not my own show. They do a great job producing it, and there's two other guys on it. So, but I'm on there Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Gil. You are absolutely correct about that.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday, his day off. Let us never forget, Wednesday is his day off. Mark, your impressions of the first, not even week, of the Major League Baseball season, is the ABS system the headline for you so far?
Oh, isn't it great? I wish we could do more of it because they're still missing calls, but that makes you feel good. Like, I think it was Eugenio Suarez the other day. He did 2-1 at bat.
Yes.
And so, I mean, that goes to show you that there's been a lot of missed calls over the years. And I think one of the other things too, just got from a handicapping standpoint, is I think we're going to have cleaner data. And that to me is very exciting. You know, you want to, Gil, as a handicapper that uses data, you want to have clean data. And so you think about how many bad calls came into a strikeout. I use strikeout percentage quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And how many bad calls. So I think it's going to clean the data up too, which is almost more exciting to me. Because you probably want to get as precise as you can in this, right?
Yes, and you're absolutely right about the data. You don't want dirty data, you want clean data. But I also said it even more, you know, more directly earlier on the show, which is think how many games, untold, we cannot put a number on it. How many games have been altered by poor calls, balls and strikes, and your bets, right? How many wins would have been losses? How many losses would have been wins? You have to consider that as well. Based on bad calls, how did we let this go on so long? It's just incredible how something so intrinsic to your sport could be allowed, a lobby, an umpire lobby, could be allowed to rule the roost on the absolute integrity of your game. They talk about integrity of their game on lots of other stuff. Guess what? Nothing's more integral to your game than this. And so it's just, it's such
for sure.
It's such a pleasure to see this. It really is. And the public humiliation of some of these guys is a sight to behold, man.
Yeah, and it's nice too, because I think it's better. It's like if you have, let's say you have the pitching team, right? And the guy throws an obvious ball that's called a strike. I don't mind if it gets reversed to a ball because, yeah. You know, I don't know what it is about that. Remember when they changed the, you can review the play at first base. It doesn't, you think that, oh man, I got a bad beat because if that was before they did the reviews, then I would have won that. You don't have that gut feeling as a bettor. You kind of want to see as fair of a playing field as we can have. And, you know, the technology's gotten so darn good that I think that these automated strikes. So we talked about this, but way back in 2008, yeah. You know, we talked about it. We said, well, the technology wasn't there. They were still missing calls, but I think the technology is so good. It's really cool. As a bettor, as a fan of the game, it's really nice.
What did you land on today in Major League Baseball?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and give you the first base winner parlay of the year. I know guys love it when I do base winner parlays. Well, yes. I tell you what, you know, we talked about this St. Louis Cardinal team, and I don't like them very much. I've got them 30th in baseball from an offensive standpoint. They're going up against the Mets today. Mets, I've got third in baseball. And you talk about bullpens. I really like to incorporate the bullpens into my handicapping. The Mets are the fourth best bullpen in Major League Baseball versus the 22nd best bullpen. And Pallante, and go back to the starting pitcher, is 20% worse than average. And I've got Senguy right about league average at a 99 base winner number. Anyway, you throw that in the model. I've got it priced over minus 200. And you can get that game in the market at minus 155. And I think I'll give you another play because, you know, people go, oh, this guy's laying a 250. How? That's a heresy. Well, I've got this Dodgers game priced at minus 332. And really the components, Dodgers, second best offense in baseball. The bullpen, surprisingly, but the Dodgers have been kind of mid-pack the last couple of years, but they're third by my ratings. And then Shohei on the mound, number two in baseball. I've got it priced at minus 330. That's the second leg of the base winner parlay. So Mets, Dodgers, risk one to win 1.3. But I'm going to go back to it and say, well, you got all this guy lays wood. Well, I'm going to go and play the Rockies today, plus 1.5,
yeah.
Plus 105. And this is a game where it's priced at minus 255 in the market, but I think it should be priced closer to maybe minus 170-ish. And the Rockies have shown life. You look at the standings, they're 1-3, but if you look at the run line standings, they're 4-0, and they've played competitive against the decent Marlins team over the weekend. And yesterday, of course, they blew out the Blue Jays. So that's probably my second play. And then, of course, I'll throw this one in for you because you've got Logan Webb. I think that's a pretty good opportunity there, laying the minus 135 on a full game of half bet. First five's better. The Padres. I like a little bit. I love their bullpen. Not only a little bit, they're first in baseball. So I think if you play the Giants, you play at first five, and I think that's a pretty good complement of plays there.
Let's go, Logan Webb, and let's give him some run support, for God's sakes, Giants. I like many versions of Mark Borchardt. I think one of my favorites is the preemptive get ahead of criticism version of Mark Borchardt. I like that feistiness. It's like,
well, you know it's going to happen. Yeah.
What I've never understood is everybody you loves parlays.
You know what? In all fairness, you have 100 guys that like you,
That's right.
It's the two guys that don't, that they're the loudest. I don't know. Maybe you strike a nerve on them. Just kind of like somebody struck a nerve with me calling me a stuffed shirt on the big future.
I mean, you're going to forget it.
It's my favorite thing. You got so angry at stuffed shirt of all things. All right,
well, because I was the one that was trying to goof off the
yes,
most.
You
that's
were.
I
think
what,
yes,
that's
you
what
were.
Frustrated me.
Yes,
it
you
was
were.
Very serious tone in the futures show.
He's talking about the futures draft. Me, Matt Brown tried to clown it up, and Borchardt tried as well, and then he got the stuffed shirt moniker. He didn't get it with it. He didn't get an R category. All right, last thing though, because I feel compelled to ask this because it has been an epidemic of bad bullpens, just bullpens blowing up here, even in the early going. You said the Padres were your number one. Who are your worst three in the short term here?
The Nationals bullpen, the Marlins bullpen, and the Cardinals bullpen. Not necessarily in that order. Those are the worst three. And then the best, I like Padres and Tampa Bay, who blew a game from. I had a big parlay plus 230, and these guys are good pitchers that couldn't get out, say Jax and Clevinger. And so I think that, you know, you gotta, like, before you get too pissed off, especially when you're looking at it from the lens of your bet. I think there's really good pitching in bullpens. I think you'll see that, Gil.
Mark, you're the best. You're the best. I don't care what those two people.
Not as
say.
Good as the voice of sports betting.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Mark Borchardt, everybody, at BaseWinner. BaseWinner.com. BetUS is where his show is. Not his. He's got two co-hosts. I don't want to give him all the credit. Sorry about that. It's BetUS's show. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.